critical important area of the Christian life.
You see, in a lot of churches, in a lot of places, people emphasize on holy living.
It is good. It is right to emphasize on holy living.
But the emphasis must come in the right way and on the right place.
Sometimes people emphasize on holy living and they keep on emphasizing on the physical realm.
Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't drink, don't smoke, don't cut your hair too short. Or don't this and don't that, whatever it is.
And they saw that all these things were hinder, etc.
Now, no doubt some of these areas are important, but it doesn't bother me about the hair.
So that, ladies, you can never talk about that. Praise the Lord.
But of course we know that we should not be, indulging in drugs, etc. and all these areas.
But the key to holy living, I believe every single one of you have a tremendous desire to please God, to be holy. But the spirit is really, and the flesh is really. Many people always say that.
So we want to teach you about holy living, how to do it. The how for holy living. And it's not a creed of thou shalt not. Because by the time you read through all the thou shalt not, you really feel like doing those thou shalt not.
It makes you want to do them more.
So the churches today are going to emphasize on the wrong area, on the thou shalt not. On the physical area, which no doubt it is important to some extent, the key to holy living is in the renewing of the mind. If I think holy thoughts, I will live a holy life. If I do not have a holy mind, no matter how I try, I still will fall into sin. Holy mind. A holy mind will produce a holy life. So the emphasis of the Word of God and of the Bible of holy living is on the renewing of the mind to produce a pure thought life.
And then you don't have to tell people what you should not do. They will automatically do the right thing.
Somebody asked, what about my spirit man? When you were born again, your spirit man was made perfect. The only thing you need to do about your spirit man is to feed in the Word of God and to pray in the Spirit, two things. Because when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit grows.
Okay, the whole topic altogether.
But we want to emphasize on the renewing of the mind. The thought line. God is speaking in these days that He wants the people of God not only to have a holy life in action, but a holy mind. A lot of Christians are consecrated in their life, but not consecrated in their mind. If your mind is unholy, God is not pleased with you. And if your mind is unholy, sooner or later, you will fall into temptation and sin. So as we introduce this series on the thought line, on renewing of the mind, we want to touch on some basic areas of spiritual warfare first. The first statement that I want to make is that Satan cannot read your mind. Satan and demons cannot read your mind. And I want to prove that from the Bible. We want to lay some foundations. We must understand this spiritual truth. Because if you thought that Satan could read your mind, then you are a victim to him. You develop fear, and he has an advantage over you. Satan cannot read our mind. If you remember in the Bible that Satan was the one who brought Jesus to the cross through Judas and through all the persecutors.
In fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 2, it tells us that Satan put it into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. John 13, verse 2, Satan put it into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. So Satan was the one who plotted the cross. He was not all-knowing. He didn't know what was going to happen after the cross. All he was having was to destroy. He didn't know God was smarter than he. And you know, God is smarter than the devil. And he didn't know what was after that. Jesus knows, God knows, the devil didn't know. You can call him D.D., dumb devil. He didn't know, poor devil. And the devil, I want to show you that he is sometimes confused. He is the one who brought Jesus to the cross and to Judas, and then get Judas to bring Jesus to the cross, betray Jesus, bring him to the cross. But over in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus Christ was talking about going to the cross to his disciples in Matthew 16, after Peter had made a confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and he was feeling very happy. You know, I make the profession. And Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, but Jonah." What a blessing he has blessed me with. Within a next few seconds, Satan put it into the thought of Peter and said, "Don't let Jesus go to the cross." And Matthew chapter 16 tells us, when Jesus talked about how the Messiah had to suffer, they could not take him. Have you all heard the word revelation? Revelation is the impartation of the truth of God to us as a free gift. Revelation is what God gives. Understanding is what you explore and have. Revelation is from God, understanding is from us. Revelation came to Peter that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And for those of us who are growing in revelation upon revelation, take note of this. Revelation must be imparted in God's timing. Jesus had two major revelations to impart to his disciples. Number one, he has to bring them to the point where they acknowledge that he is the Messiah. The word Christ means anointed in Greek, which is the Greek word for Messiah, the anointed one. Jesus' first revelation to the disciples was he must, in every way, in the way he talked, in the way he moved, in the way he healed the sick, in the way he ministered, in the way that he do everything, bring them to the knowledge that he is the Christ, the Messiah. That is revelation number one. And until they come to revelation number one, it is not time to give revelation number two. What was revelation number two? Revelation number two was that this Messiah is a suffering one, which would boggle their mind. The Jewish concept of the Messiah was one who was a king. They could not conceive of the Messiah dying at all. Can you imagine what happened if before they received Revelation 1, Jesus gave Revelation 2? They might never even believe Jesus was the Christ because it's too hard for them to receive. So Jesus kept on waiting and waiting until the day when they acknowledged him as the Christ, the Messiah. Then he gave Revelation number 2. He says that from that day onwards, he showed them that the Christ must suffer. Only from that day. They must get Revelation 1 first before Revelation 2. Revelation comes precept upon precept, line upon line. Isaiah 28 verse 12. And we have to be established on some foundation before we go on, one unto the other. And when Jesus gave Revelation number 2, the same Peter who had come to Revelation 1 could not take Revelation 2. So how can Jesus go to the cross? And Satan was right there too and saying,
Look at him go to the cross.
Satan was speaking through the lips of Peter, not that he possessed Peter, but he put a thought in Peter's life, which we will touch on. He put a thought in Peter's life.
I do not believe that a Christian can be possessed. And I tell you,
you see, this is my personal understanding. When you have a demon on your body, that is oppression. When you have a demon in your soul, in your mind, that is obsession. When you have a demon in your spirit, that is possession.
Do you understand that?
When you have a demon on your body, that is oppression. When you have a demon on your mind or your soul, that is obsession. When you have a demon in your spirit, that is possession. So based on this definition, a Christian cannot be possessed because his spirit is a new spirit and the Holy Spirit lives inside him. 1 John 4:4 says, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Christians, because of a lack of knowledge of the word, can be obsessed, can be oppressed. Not that they should be, but they can be, if they don't use the word and develop their faith and walk with God. But they can chase the drive the devil out of their soul and body if they want to. They have the authority. So Satan can disturb your soul or your body if you let him, but he cannot come and dwell inside your spirit. So that is, I believe, the scriptural definition. Scriptural definition. Now when a person is heavily obsessed, sometimes demons can use his lips to speak, but it's still in the soul area. Otherwise, you have many scriptures that show you how the born-again person, all things are passed away, 2 Corinthians 5:17, 1 John 4:4, many verses that show you it's impossible for a demon to dwell in your spirit. So that doctrine has caused confusion in many Christian circles, and I just made that clear this morning. And that's what I believe to be the scriptural view. Christians cannot get possessed at all. Holy Spirit lives in you, Jesus lives in you, the King of Kings does not share his room with demons. That needs a big amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How about on this side?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There are 3 seconds you can tell from this side you say amen. Anyway, praise the Lord. So Satan was right there. He was putting a thought in Peter's mind. In Matthew 16, you can read the account. And Peter said, Lord, don't go. Peter began to rebuke the Lord. The Bible used the word, he rebuked the Lord. He prevented the Lord from going to the cross.
And you know what Jesus said in Matthew 16? Satan, get behind me. Satan, get behind me. Now here is where you can see the devil is many times confused.
In Matthew 16, he was preventing Jesus from going to the cross. In John 13 verse 2, he was encouraging Jesus to go to the cross. Can you see how confused he is?
Poor guy, isn't it?
And he's still confused today. He's still confused today. So Satan is not as powerful as you thought. Don't be scared of him. He's not as powerful as you thought. You can confuse him. Sometimes when he throws darts at you, he just smiles and says, praise the Lord. He starts cracking his horn. Wondering, why it didn't work? Why you're still smiling? Did his missile blow off? So he wonders why his firing darts didn't work. You can fool the devil. How many of you like to make fools of the devil?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You can fool him, confuse him. But sometimes you were not too smart. The devil throw a small little thought and they say, oh! He knows it. He knows it. He knows it's working. So Satan is not that smart, he's confused. And he cannot read people's mind, otherwise, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1 and chapter 2, he would know where Jesus was. He will read the wise man's mind and find out where Jesus was. But Satan was working to Herod, he wanted to kill Jesus. If he could read people's mind, he could read the wise man's mind and find out where Jesus was and go and kill Jesus. Inspire a killing of Jesus. But he didn't know. He is not omnipresent. If Satan is in Timbuktu, he is not in Kuala Lumpur. He cannot be in two places at the same time. God can, he cannot. He is a created being. He is only a fallen angel. He is not all-knowing, not all-powerful. In fact, he has been destroyed in power, removed. So Satan cannot read our mind. Some of you begin to ask the question, then how is this thing that we read sometimes in the papers and all these stories, the people reading the mind in telepathy, etc., and telekinesis, etc.? Well, this is normally how it operates. Here, normally it can operate only for non-Christians. Believers who are walking with God who are not demonized, have no demons oppressing them, normally you cannot, your mind cannot be read because the Holy Spirit is riding on you. But when he is a person that doesn't know Jesus, he's not born again. And here is the so-called mind reader. Mind reader. So this mind reader, what happens is he got a pet demon. You have to pet? Mind reader got pet demons. Now the mind reader might not consciously keep the demon as a pet, but subconsciously or unknowingly or ignorantly he uses that demon power. He thought it was superpower, it was a supernatural power, demon is a demon. Now that was the demon that he had. Now this demon was telling everything. And so, when you want to read this person's mind, this demon will communicate with this demon. You see, this person is not born again, so there's a demon here who knows everything about his life. So this demon puts thoughts in the mind there, and this demon will tell this demon that knows this person's life, will tell this demon what is the person's life, and so this demon will tell this person, his mind reader, and his mind reader will look with his big eyes and say, I see. Yeah. All because there's an invisible mind we didn't know about. So one day I came across a mind reader who seemed to try to read my mind. That was in Kanga Paris, and he don't know where he learned it from. Probably from some charms and mediums in Thailand somewhere. He came and tried to read my mind. I said, go ahead, try. He could not. He didn't know what's wrong. Then maybe you forgot to put a plug in. You know, sometimes you can be like Elijah getting a bit naughty, disturbed him. And so he could not. And I say, I can tell you why. Because you operate by demon power, and the demons, I do not allow demons to read my mind, to come into my life. So you cannot read my mind. And so later he was born again. And so the demon went out and cast out, and he came to know the Lord as personal Lord and Savior. That's better, right? The demons cannot read our mind at all. They do not know what we are thinking. Unless you show it on your face, you show it in your action, then they know. That means you can fool them. Next time you are depressed, say hallelujah. They don't know what is in your mind. When you're depressed, don't say, I'm depressed. And then they know. Then they put another one on you. They put a second degree depression on you. They try to help you to get more depressed. Don't let them know that they are winning at all in your mind. They cannot read your mind. So we are on the foundation area, on the third line, and we're going to lay some foundations here. The battleground in the Christian life is the mind. It's the mind. The renewal of the mind. Everybody here has ever been tempted. Can I see your hand? Oh, some of you have ever been tempted. Wow! We have some Enoch here, brethren. Praise the Lord. All of us have been tempted. When the temptation came to you, where did it come to? Your mind. Your mind. Satan puts thoughts in the mind. The weapons that Satan uses are thoughts. I want to read some foundational scriptures. If you are ready, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And it should please be able to have some of them. I will tie that to how the anointing works on this tearing down a stronghold. It's all related together.
2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds that the devil puts on your mind. Brethren, the only reason why God cannot answer your prayer is because your mind is full of strongholds. If your mind is full of strongholds and become a net for the devil and the demons, then God's power cannot break through you. Many times when I minister under the anointing and pray for people, I could almost send the cloud over them. And I knew the only key to breaking down that, the thought pattern that they have in their mind, is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And sometimes through the preaching of the Word, you could sense people responding, like their thought lines begin to be affected because the words are coming out of my lips into your physical ears, and you're hearing them in your mind, ringing in your mind, ringing in your spirit, spirit to spirit, soul to soul. And the words are coming into your mind, and sometimes I watch the words of God as it flows out of my mouth and come upon the people's lives, they begin to break forth certain barriers. Sometimes people say, I can't see the power of God. I can't sense the power of God. Oh, around them, there's this kind of atmosphere all around. There's doubt, there's unbelief, all kinds of things in their mind. Right? And one by one, the Word of God begins to break them down, pull down one by one of the strongholds. Until they're all just ready, all the blockage removed. And then they came just right there. The power of God begins to minister. It will just come upon them, and they could sense the tangible presence and power of God. And people do not realize it, but it's a very fine line when we talk about the power of God working. It is a very fine line between an answered prayer and an unanswered prayer. It's a very keen line between the two. It is just like Peter walking on water, if you read that in the Gospel. Peter was walking on water. They were in the boat. They saw Jesus, and somebody had a bright idea and said, he was a ghost. Hantu. Hantu! And Peter looked carefully, and then the Lord said, it is I, be of good comfort. And Peter still looking in the darkness, Lord, if it is you, come to you. Then the voice came, come. And all the other 11 disciples, Judas included, and Peter don't go. Into unto my Naja. Don't go. He's just trying to fool you. Peter, being what he is, bread that he is, he just left the 11 shaking the 7 disciples on the boat, started to put his leg up. All the rest were looking very carefully to see when he would drown next. And then he was walking very carefully, and he touched something solid. And he was the next step. He looked around, the boat was behind him. Imagine how he felt. Wow. He could stop there and have a great meeting. He has 2 steps now. Walking on water takes 2 gifts, the gift of faith and the working of miracles. The gift of faith was the person receiving, and something has to be done to the water to give it support. 2 gifts to operate on walking on water. And the note for lesson 10. It covers the working of miracles. You can get that from there, right? All available there. You just got it on the table just now. Working of miracles and the gift of faith.
And he walked, and as he was walking towards Jesus, his eyes were on Jesus. Remember, he came up too sure. Because he said, Lord, he did it you. And now as he walked, he suffered certainly it was the Lord. Nothing happened outside. He didn't say anything, he was just walking. And all on one side, the wind began to blow, and the waves began to grow higher and higher. As Peter was walking towards Jesus, he took his eyes off Jesus for one moment. Perhaps only for a split second. But in that split second, there was a doubt. He said, hold it there. His mind said, hold it there. Every scientist knows that he cannot walk on water. 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 legs on the water equals something. Something tells you it's not possible. And all the things you experience tells you it's not possible. But here you are. And when you look, you begin to feel taking. He's taking. And he was drowned. And as he was going in, whether Hantu or not Hantu, he said, Lord, help me! A drowning man clutched at any straw. When you're drowning, you take anything. You take anything. Lord, help me! And the Lord just came straight. And these were the words of the Lord. O you of little faith. Little faith. What was the difference? A thin line. And many times when I minister to people for healing or all these areas, I know that the difference between faith and unbelief is just a thin line. Very thin line. And if I sense unbelief presently, I would rather take the person alone and minister where we can have an atmosphere of faith. Because it's just a thin line between the power of God coming and not coming. Just a thin line. In the book, Blue Book by Jenna Engin on the Faith Bible God, he talked about how the Pentecostals had a game, Pentecostal churches, and they were playing baseball, if I'm not wrong. And so, and they hit the ball, they would run. Run for first base, second base, etc. They would make a run, round. And so, while running, one of these pastors fell down and broke his leg. I forgot which leg, but I illustrated with the right leg. He broke his right leg, and the bone was sticking out of the skin. And so, being Pentecostal and tongue talking, the first thing they did was pray. If it was in a normal Baptist game, the first thing they do is, "999, everyone!" But this was tongue talking, demon casting, demon chasing, hand laying Christian. So the first thing they did was pray. And they prayed. Excuse me, any Baptist here by the way? Okay, my apologies if I offend your soul. And so this was a Pentecostal meeting. And they go and they started praying in tongues and praying. And then they said, get up now. The boy was sitting here, but get up now. So he got up his luggage. He started to walk. He fell down again. Let's pray again. They prayed several times and it didn't work. And then somebody saw it and said, no, the next time we pray, don't let him get up on his left leg. Get him to get up on his right leg. The leg that he's been praying about. First. And so, he got up. After praying, he got up his right leg. He put his right leg up, the bone snapped back, and he was normal. See the difference? Thin line. And the difference between receiving and not receiving is depending on the doubt or unbelief or faith in God. And when you cast out demons, it's the same thing with healing. See, that is why some people take a long time to cast out demons because they are doubting. But if your faith is firm, the demons go very fast. But when there's unbelief present, it hinders. I'd rather take those people aside and cast those demons out. But many times people say waver. They don't tell you, but their mind is in fact wavering. What was wavering in Peter was in his mind.
Whatever happens, whether he walk on water or he sing in the water, depend on what goes on in the mind. Whether your prayers get answered or not answered, depend on what goes on in your mind. Whether God's power is working in your life or not working in your life, depends on what goes on in your mind. God will not answer unbelief. God will not answer doubt in the mind. The doubts in the mind, the unbelieving thoughts in the mind are strongholds that are walls preventing the power of God from coming down into you. They block the power of God. But yet the decision to think or not to think those thoughts is very simple. Very simple. Just a decision of our lives. To take the word or take the devil's word. Take God's word or take the devil's word. In the thought mind. So the thought mind is the area where Satan battles. Now Satan has some missiles that he fire against us. And I'm not making the word missiles up. You turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It tells us there in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan is throwing fiery darts against you all the time, all the time. Demons and all the wicked spirits are throwing darts at you all the time, all the time, all the time. Because we are living in a world that is in warfare. They're throwing that against you all the time, all the time. Now, what do the fiery darts look like? How do they feel like? They are not physical things. When you read the fiery darts, some people get scared.
Hey, I better be careful. My house here or wood can burn very easily.
We're not talking about physical fire. The fiery darts that come is the Greek word missile. That's where the English word missile came from. It's throwing fiery projectiles at you. How do they come? In what form? They come like round balls of thought patterns. That's what they are like. They are thought patterns that you throw at you. So if they think on this, you throw at you. Think on this, you throw at you. He throws thoughts at you. Those are his missiles. And sometimes in a group, like, and you meet together in oneness, in this manner, the difference for God's power to flow or not to flow depends on the tearing down of all the thought patterns that are around. Because the thought patterns are the strongholds that he deals. When God opens our spiritual eyes, you can literally see sometimes the thought patterns that are around. Thoughts are real. They are real in the spirit realm. They are the communication of the spirit realm. And one by one, all the thought patterns are to be pulled down. Until we see as the word says, we speak as the word says, we believe as the word says, then the power of God begins to move. Then the thought patterns that even our things begin to be torn down. That is why sometimes, as you all know this, when you just gather in a group, you wonder why there's no atmosphere. There's all. Somebody comes and he talks here, somebody comes and he talks there, somebody comes and he talks there. Sometimes it's not the devil's thought, sometimes it's thought on this line. The cares of this line. All these thought patterns build walls that the anointing of God cannot flow. But you notice what happens when you start praying. When you pray. There comes a time when you stand like a sea pressing down. That was also exactly when the mind became one. That is when the power of God can flow. If I'm in a group where I sense the thought patterns from there, I have to give the word first before the power of God can move. And sometimes it takes time to beat down all those thought patterns that are blocking the power of God from flowing. It's very easy to get the power of God flowing.
Believe God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's all.
Believe without a shadow of a doubt.
Satan works in the thought line.
The reason why some of us are not receiving answers to our prayers is because you're wavering.
You accept some of the thoughts the devil gives you. But when you reach a position where you have no more doubt, you're so firmly entrenched in what God spoke to you in His Word.
So that every thought that the devil comes, you take a shield of faith, which is the Word of God. Gone. Thought doesn't come, the shield of faith comes up. The shield of faith is the Word of God. Every one of the armor of God can be tied to an aspect of the Word of God. You take a word, take a word, take a word, take a word, take a word.
God is pleased with you.
And I don't care what kind of prayer it is. I don't care how strong or powerful a miracle you need. Even if you need to grow a new arm or new leg, whatever it is, I don't care how much power is needed.
But when that faith reaches out into the heavenly, without a shadow of a doubt, no matter how hard you think it is, it begins to come through when the power of God begins to flow. Because you have reached a place where you are immovable in God. When God is pleased with your faith, Satan attacks in the thought line. That's the only way he operates in.
And through the thought line,
then he oppresses your body.
I show from the Bible now, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8 in the life of Simon the magician. Acts chapter 8, Simon the magician was mentioned, and this is what the Bible calls him in chapter 8, in verse 9. A certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery. Now he was involved in the occult, in the teaching and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. He must have been quite expert in sorcery, witchcraft, etc. So when Philip went to Samaria, Philip preached about Christ and the power of God. Healing took place and Simon believed. Simon repented and he believed and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He was baptized in water by Philip. Sometime later, Peter and John, the apostles, came to Samaria. And when Peter and John came, Peter and John started laying hands on people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. People started receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Simon saw the power of God moving, and Simon wanted the power to minister. He wanted the power to minister, to lay hands in the same way. And so he offered money, and this is what Peter replied in Acts chapter 8, in verse 20. Peter said to him, "Your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this, your wickedness," and notice this, "pray God if perhaps the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven."
The thoughts. And nobody went wrong, his thoughts. He didn't know that thought didn't come from himself, it came from the devil.
The devil gave him all the thoughts. Some of the thoughts that the devil gives you are so camouflaged that they seem like your own, but they are not. They are the devil.
When you pray in the spirit, the word, they disappear. They are not yours.
They came from the devil. The thought. Jesus just asked him to repent of the thought. You mean repentance for thought life?
Yes. If our minds are not holy, we need repentance. An unholy mind breeds sin. The devil, disobedience, rebellion, and all manner of evil.
God asks for repentance for unholy mind. Repent of the wrong thought.
That was a command given to Simon the magician. It was a thought. One thought can stop you from a miracle. One wrong thought. The devil has blinded people. Some people thought their sickness came from God. Just one thought blinded them. And they, with the rest of their lives, they remain sick. They still remain sick. John Osteen had a sister. This sister was put in the penitentiary, I think it's called a mental hospital there.
in a mental hospital. She was behaving like a beast, an animal. Nobody could recognize her. She didn't know how to groom her hair, how to take care of herself, how to dress well and properly and neatly. It looked like an animal caged up in the mental hospital.
One thought had her bound. You know what that thought was? She thought that God had given her all these problems. One thought.
John was seen one day, he was driving to a certain city, the Lord Spirit came upon him and said, drive over right now to see your sister. He drove over, right over. He went there, he went through the gate, he went right to the hospital there, and he stood before her and said, don't tell me this is from God. And when his voice spoke that, the sister heard those words like an angel speaking, like the voice of Almighty God speaking. And for the first time, she began to doubt her doubt. She began to refuse to accept the thought that he was from God. And the very day, in the 6th second, when the stronghold was released, the power of God came on her. She changed. Power of God transformed her. And John Osteen was able to be one of those who took her out from the mental hospital, a normal human being again. One thought. One thought can bind you up until you're crippled. It is a thought lie that prevents the power of God from flowing to people's lives. It is a thought lie that prevents demons from being cast out in many places. You might not hear the people saying unbelief or speaking wrong words, but if you have ears to hear the thoughts that are going about, then you will know why the power of God could not work. The only person and being who can read our thoughts is God. Your thoughts are louder to God than your words that you speak. The thoughts that you think are very loud to God. God can hear your thoughts. Sometimes it's not just the words we speak that are wrong that prevent God's power from flowing. The thoughts that people think in the whole atmosphere. We all can hear physical words being spoken. But if you hear the thoughts that are going about, you've got God's ears to hear, then you will understand why the power of God inflows. Because the thoughts will all jumble up and become strongholds. Walls that prevent the power of God from flowing. Is that what we mean to Acts chapter 5? Another incident is that Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to deceive, and when they came before Peter to tell a lie, in verse 3 Peter said to Ananias, Ananias, was it not your own? Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Notice, Satan seal your heart. How did Satan seal the heart before? With evil strategies and designs to deceive and to lie. Thought pattern. And over in verse 9, Jesus said to Sapphira, how is it that you have agreed together, they even talk about it, to test the spirit of the Lord? And verse 4, what did he mean? Was it not your own? After it was told, was it not your own? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You see what happened? All Satan did was keep throwing thoughts at Ananias and Sapphira. They are good Christians. Good Christians. Some talking spiritual Christians. Satan keeps throwing thoughts into their thoughts.
Some of the thoughts so subtle. So subtle. And you do not realize that it was here, you thought it was wrong. You thought that it was wrong. And then the Sakira probably thought that it was a good idea.
They thought that they themselves had cooked up the idea. They thought the wrong thought. Satan is using all the demonic power he can today to throw thoughts against the people of God. He is throwing thoughts against the people of the world also. Throwing wrong thoughts to newspapers, throwing wrong thoughts to the television, throwing wrong thoughts. What is he throwing? Thoughts. Trying to make people receive those thoughts. And when you receive them, then you leave them. And he is also attacking Christians, preventing them from knowing the power of God, preventing them from having the answers in their lives. And you are only a thought pattern away from the power of God. No doubting Thomas can pay for the power of God. No one who doubts can ever come into contact with the power of God. God demands that we come to Him fully with all of our strength. And I just want to conclude with reading Acts 10 verse 38 and comparing it to 2 Corinthians 10. We conclude with these two verses. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. A verse familiar to all of us, because we've been teaching on the anointing of God. In Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The anointing was to go out and destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3 verse 8 says, Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. How did Jesus destroy and brought the anointing upon people? You turn back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, our key text. You notice that Paul says, I have to emphasize a different thing here, now in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare, it is spiritual warfare to tear down thought patterns. When you notice, it is war. The war that we are fighting, Paul calls it spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons are to tear down the stronghold. Ephesians 6 means our spiritual weapons, about the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is, everybody, the Word of God. Can you say the Word of God? The Word of God. And the Word of God is the weapon that comes forth and pulls down on all those wrong thought patterns. Tears down. It is a spiritual weapon that you and I can use. Before you can pray for the sick people and the power of God flow on them, you have to tear down the stronghold. Your weapon, did you use your spiritual weapon? What are our spiritual weapons for? To tear down from whom? To tear down the thought patterns in people's lives. To tear down the wrong thinking in people's lives. To tear down all those things. And when you have sufficiently tear down all those things, it is not you who heal. Jesus will heal. And Jesus' power comes down. All you and I do is to clear the way for Jesus to work. What you and I do is like John the Baptist. We make the path move for him to walk. What you and I do is that we lower down the mountains and we fill up the valleys. We make the rough way straight. We pick up all those blockages, and then the river of God will just flow through upon the people of God. And upon all the people of the world, they need the power of God. That's all you and I do. We take up our spiritual weapons. We tear down all the thought patterns. The thought patterns in your life need to be repented about. The thought patterns in your life are keeping you in bondage. Check your life. Look at what area Satan has come in. Watch your life. Watch your thought life. Those areas Satan has come in. You have to take the ground back from him. Tear down all the thought patterns in your own mind first. In your own life. And then begin to tear down all those things in other people's lives. And watch. Stand still. And see the salvation of God begin to come.
in His glory. Our God, be it to me. Let's go to God in prayer, every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Father God, for the weapons of our warfare. Thank you, Father God, for your love that reaches up to each one here, even this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There's a real God and there's a real devil who is against us, causing sickness and suffering and death in people's lives. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has come to give us eternal life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If they believe in this begotten Son that God has sent. And as we bow our heads in prayer, right now the Holy Spirit is beginning to work in some of your thought lives, beginning to put some desires and thoughts in each one of your lives and heart right now. It's drawing the presence of God into your life and the power of God. Jesus Christ is reaching out on each one here this morning. Right now, this morning, the power of God and the Spirit of God is working on your life. And you know that you need help. You know that you need God's power in your life. You know that you need that Almighty God to come and help you, that Jesus the Christ. You need Jesus. The first thing you need to do is to acknowledge Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And if this morning, right now, you know in your heart that you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior yet, and you know that this morning, if you should die right now this morning, you're not sure of whether you go to hell or you go to heaven, you're not sure what will happen to you when you die, then you need Jesus, who is reaching out to you now, pouring His love into your heart and mind. And if this is a desire in your heart, you want Jesus to come into your heart and mind, you need help, you need prayer. Right now, as we bow our heads and we close our eyes in prayer, right now, wherever you are sitting, I want you to raise your right hand up and say, I need Jesus. I need help. Right now, while Jesus' Spirit is moving, very quickly now, lift up your right hand unto the Lord. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, yes, you can put them down right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, shall we all stand together on our feet? We're going to pray for each one of you and minister to each one of you. As you sing that song, all to Jesus, I surrender. The first thing we always do is surrender to Him. Jesus Christ's Spirit is moving in our midst, moving in your heart and in your life. You know you need Jesus. We have lifted our hands to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. If this is our humble, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jesus said that if you confess me before me, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. We make a confession publicly, Jesus made a confession of you publicly in heaven. Then you lift up your hand for help to receive Jesus. I want you to just step up. When we sing that song, all to Jesus, I surrender, and make a public profession of Jesus Christ. He has not made a public profession of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. I need to step up from where you are to sing that song, and come right to the front here, be bold about it. And if this is new to you, and you became your friend, and you have your first time here, you can come to the front here with your friend, to come to your friend or accompany you to the front. As we surrender all to Jesus, and we pray for you, as we come right to the front for prayer, then we sing that song. Thank you. prayer together with me. Our love is a prayer to Jesus, asking His Son to be our life saver. And when you pray that prayer, you will sense a peace and a cleansing inside you. There is the cleansing blood of Jesus washing you, giving you the new birth experience. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. I receive the forgiveness of sins. Right now, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that right now I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And that if I die right now, I know I'll be in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Just remain standing where you are. I want all of you to stretch out your hands to these in the front and bless them. For our blessing can change and transform the future. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for your Holy Spirit to seal the heart of each one here in your gospel and in your salvation plan. Father, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation for each one here. You have said to me that you give me souls that will grow perfect in you and strong in you and walk strong in you. I ask, Father God, for each one of these here, that you continue to give them such a strong anointing of salvation, that their lives should be transformed and changed, that they would walk in newness of life. Oh, I pray and thank you, you keep them, O Father, from falling, that you open the word unto them, and you cause them, Father, to flow in the fullness of your will in your life, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we continue singing all the Jesus to the I surrender. All of those of you in the front here, if you need a baptism, if you need prayer for healing or any other area of prayer, just remain standing where you are, and we'll pray for you. And as we see that some heart to Jesus has surrendered, we want to open an invitation to those of you who have not received a baptism in the Spirit, who need healing or who need prayer, who need the Spirit of God to minister to you this morning. The presence of the Lord is here this morning. As you sing that song, all to Jesus I surrender. I want you to step up from where you are, come right to the front. And then just a word unto you to know that as a minister unto you, as I stand right in front of you and lift up my hands and talk about the anointing of God, the Lord has appeared to me and told me not to lay hands. But when I talk about the anointing of God, the anointing will just come upon you. As I stand in front of you and talk the anointing of God, speak about the anointing of God, the power of God will come right into you right now. This morning. Some of you may fall in the fall, some of you may not fall, but whatever it is, the Spirit of God will move, work the work in your life. There will be a presence and anointing that comes upon you, tangible anointing. As you open your heart, open your life to receive the anointing of God into you right now this morning.